This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of VSiN Prime Time alongside Will Hill. I always say that, Will. It's not, I mean, technically, if you're watching us, we are alongside, right? We're next to each other. Just about 3,000 miles separate us, though, as you're there in lovely Connecticut. We were talking about you're maybe going to a Hartford Yard Goats game this summer. Great ballpark, right?
Beautiful ballpark. I believe multiple times it's been awarded or voted best ballpark, best minor league ballpark in the country. Gorgeous ballpark. You get to see the AA Rockies and, you know, the list of teams that come to play them, the Mets, the Blue Jays. A lot of the they try to keep it local, and these teams coming for like a week or so. But you see some good players. You see, you know, the future major leaguers. You see sometimes the major leaguers rehabbing, but bang for your buck, just the food, you know, beer, all of the different things. It's you're right on top of the ballpark. Minor league games are a good way to go, especially, you know, if you've got kids or whatever. It's not when the drive's not as bad. It's just you're in, you're out. It's family friendly. Those are good, enjoyable games if you like baseball.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I worked in minor league baseball for 4 years. It is our boss, our GM, used to say, you know, we could go winless. It doesn't matter. Most of the people are not there for who's going to win and who's going to lose. But I agree. There are some incredible ballparks all across the country. I'm actually going to check one out, I think, in a couple of weeks, too. The AAA affiliate of the Yankees, your Yankees, the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders. So looking forward to checking that out. Speaking of the Yankees, Will Hill, that is our VSiN primetime game of the night. We saw Aaron Judge go yard in the top of the first inning, and since then, nothing from the Yankees. It is 4-1. Reds have the lead here in the bottom of the sixth inning. Nick Lodolo has actually did all right. Went 4 1/3. He won't get a win. Doesn't matter because wins and losses are the stupidest thing in all of baseball. One run, six hits for Lodolo, six strikeouts. He was relieved of duty. They were able to get out of a bases-loaded jam. So 4-1, Reds have the lead over the Yankees right now. Live number there, if you do think the Yankees could come back, pretty juicy, plus 558. We just saw Juan Soto hit a two-run homer, Will, at Citi Field. 3-2, though, the Braves still have the lead there, and in the top of the seventh inning, as I believe Spencer Schwellenbach is done for the day. His line today, six innings, four hits, two runs, and four strikeouts. Actually, I don't know if he's done for the day, but he could be coming back out. He's actually got 80 pitches so far, so probably actually will come back out. And maybe the Brewers could be coming back here against the old Buccos, top of the fifth inning in Milwaukee. And the Brew Crew scored two runs, in the bottom of the fourth inning. And right now, Will, if you want to bank on the Brewers, well, the Pirates just scored another run. I think they're going to hit a home run right here. So they're going to be up 4-2 in the top of the fifth inning.
Yeah, and tough here for the over, Reds-Yankees. Bases loaded, one out for the Reds in the bottom of the fifth. First pitch, the reliever comes in, ground ball, double play, and it ends the inning. So they limit the damage. And I think this is at least the third time. It's at least the third time this game, man on third, less than two outs, that the run doesn't get home. So those are ones when you got the over, you just got to bank in. Man on third, less than two outs, to not come away with any runs. You can only afford maybe one of those, two, three of those when you're trying to get over a high total of 10 is tough. We still got a decent amount of ball game left, but the other thing that concerns me here is not only we're behind pace with only five runs here in the sixth, but the home team is winning. So you're not going to, the way the game stands now, you're not going to get that bottom half of the ninth. So always try to keep in mind that, like, if the home team is a big favorite, it's got to factor into your handicapping of the other stuff, the total, because they're not likely to bat in the bottom of the ninth, which has a trickle-down effect.
Still got a couple of games to come. We'll hit on these games bottom of the hour. We've got Red Sox-Angels. Right now, the Red Sox, a slight road favorite against the Angels. That was a pretty fun series, the Red Sox and the Giants over the weekend, and then Nationals and Padres. For a moment yesterday, I was thinking to myself, wait, so the Nationals, who had a homestand in which they got swept by the Marlins and lost 3 out of 4 to the Rockies, are going to go to Chavez Ravine and win 2 out of 3? And then lo and behold, the Nationals got absolutely smashed after a quick start there against the Angels, or excuse me, against the Dodgers. So they started a new series against the Padres. So we'll get to those games at the bottom of the hour. Patrick Everson going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on what unfolded across the world of gambling as here we go. Home run. Oh, off the top of the wall there. So a long double. Man, you've had a couple of opportunities where the ball looks like it's going to get out at Great American Ballpark and it goes off the top of the wall, or you get a great catch in right field. So 4-1 the score, bottom of the sixth inning there. Reds taking on the New York Yankees. All right, let's get back to what we were discussing, courtesy of Paul Charchian. We just played a clip from the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Paul Charchian joined me on Saturday in studio, and he made a good case for Bucky Irving to win Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year. And, you know, once again, as you mentioned, this has become kind of a unique market because quarterbacks don't tend to win it. The last quarterback to win it, as you pointed out, was Patrick Mahomes. And we had a stretch where in 15, Cam Newton won both. Matt Ryan won both in 2016, and then Mahomes won both in 2018. But since then, Will, we have not seen a quarterback win it. So no quarterback since Patrick Mahomes in 2018. So my question to you would be, would someone like a Jaden Daniels who runs, or Lamar Jackson who runs as well as they both do, are they worth it? I kind of feel like even though their price is juicy, they're not worth it because it does feel like it's trending towards what you pointed out. It's kind of the best non-quarterback award nowadays.
What's the price for those two? I don't have it in front of me.
40-1 each.
Yeah, at 40-1, I get it. I like Lamar more. But, I mean, are they in a rush to give Lamar more stuff? I mean, they've given him MVPs. Last year, he could have won the MVP. He didn't, because I think people just sort of universally agreed, all right, it's close enough, so it's Allen's turn to win. I just don't know the mindset of the voter. I don't mind taking a shot at quarterback. Maybe, you know, Mahomes, it's weird. Mahomes doesn't put up the stats, like the video game stats anymore. Part of it, he doesn't have the great receivers. And part of it, I don't know. But could there ever be a year where Mahomes or Allen – doesn't, and they're so good that they sweep? But again, it's such a strange thought process for the voters, because like you said, three times in what, 4 or 5 year span, we had a quarterback win both MVP and offensive player of the year. And then since then, all of the quarterbacks have won MVP, but they don't win offensive player of the year. So everyone just kind of collectively decided, all right, we're not doing that anymore. We give them the MVP, we don't give them the other thing. So I don't know. Do you have the odds in front of you for Offensive Player of the Year?
I do. I can pull them up in a second. I got them up. So let's run through
them. I'll give you a weird one. What? You might have to look here. Jameson Williams. What is he?
Jameson Williams is... You got to...
Because that's a guy with a lot of talent.
You got to overlook Caleb and then Kyron to go to Jameson. 120-1 for Jameson Williams. You know, it was interesting. I'm glad you mentioned Jameson Williams because I wanted to talk to you about Amon-Ra St. Brown. 30-1 to win this award.
Not bad.
Obviously, we know it's a changeover at the coordinator position with Ben Johnson moving on to the Chicago Bears, but he's always going to have volume catches. He's a hell of a competitor. Amon-Ra St. Brown could be interesting to me at 30-1 to win this award there. As mentioned, I just want to, in case you missed what we were talking about, if you're wondering how often has a wide receiver won it, pretty regularly. The last six have been three wide receivers, three running backs. So wide receiver can win this award, right? It's not like I'm trying to think.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So this is not an award where, especially in the NFL, where we're getting so much passing yardage out there.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to throw a couple at you. Let's see. What are you expecting from Ashton Jeanty in year one? I think I said it off air. Maybe it was the end of it to Charch. I said, where's Ashton Jeanty going in fantasy drafts? He said, number one in some spots. Like, are we getting too enamored by Ashton Jeanty? Or could an old school coach like Pete Carroll want to utilize a running back like Ashton Jeanty? Look, you spent the sixth overall pick on him.
Sure.
You're going to use him a lot. Plus 250 to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Very cheap. 60-1 to win Offensive Player of the Year in his rookie season.
Not a horrible idea. And when you're taking a shot at 60-1, I don't want to shoot anything down because it's not like you have to bet that much to get a little action. And that 60-1 goes a long way. So I don't mind the 60-1. I kind of need a little more than plus 250, even though, you know, he's the rightful favorite. I think, like you said, him going first in fantasy drafts is a little bit
seems a bit aggressive.
Seems a bit ambitious. It does. But I don't mind the 60-1. I don't know. Would you bet either one of those?
I wouldn't bet plus 250. As crazy as it sounds, I would need a little bit more because I still have PTSD.
You can get
hurt. I still have PTSD. To your point, I had Josh Jacobs 8-1. I think what was his rookie year? 2019. I had him 8-1.
Stole it.
And he got hurt the last three games. Kyler Murray swiped it away from him. And look, you know, in everything, you know, I should have bet Kyler Murray to get off of it, but I felt great through 13 weeks. I'm like, this thing's in the bag. And lo and behold, he gets hurt and Kyler Murray takes it away. Would you rather Brock Bowers at 60-1 or Ashton Jeanty? Which Raider would you rather have?
It's Jeanty. It's not going to be a tight end. I thought Bowers, you know, was awesome last year. You could have made a case. You could have made a case, at least in normal years, to give him something for rookie of the year because he was that dominant. It's a hard place to win the award. But I will say, as we're wrapping up this conversation, we can revisit it. If you're going to bet this stuff, awards, anything positive, not the worst idea to wait, at least until preseason or even the season starts. Because if Jeanty gets hurt today, tomorrow, whenever, running back's a violent position, the books are not going to be nice and say, oh, that doesn't count. He didn't play. Once you make that bet, I think it has a little disclaimer at the top. All bets are action. So any of this positive stuff, not the worst idea to wait.
I'll tell you what, we're going to have bets galore coming out very soon in our NFL betting guide. It drops next week. And if you want access to said NFL betting guide, as well as all of our bets as we get closer and closer to the NFL season, our early bird special will become a VSiN Pro subscriber, $175. Everything we do through the Super Bowl, VSiN.com/subscribe. Patrick Everson joins us next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Boy, that escalated quickly. Cardinals up 8-1 now on the Chicago Cubs. It was not a great performance from Ben Brown there of the Cubbies here tonight. 5 innings, 8 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, gave up 4 homers. So you keep bringing it up. It's hot across the country and the ball flying tonight at Busch Stadium.
Absolutely. Weather's important when it comes to handicapping baseball, and it's hot everywhere in the country, 100 degrees. It matters for the weather and the ball flying out. I know there's been a lot of talk about the baseball. Does it drag? Does it carry as much? Which, look, I guess it varies game to game, ball to ball, but warm weather, good for offense for sure.
Well, our next guest in his Twitter bio, he says, I'll take 115 degrees over snow and cold any day. The one and only Patrick Everson joins us right now at Patrick_E_Vegas, senior reporter for Vegas Insider. Always love picking the brain of the hardest working man in Las Vegas. And, you know, it was a fun night. There were a lot of big bets out there. You've pointed out a couple of them there on social media. So across the landscape, what were some of the big bets that cashed, and what were some of the big bets that fell to the wayside after Tyrese Halliburton went down in a heap of pain in the first quarter?
Well, one of the ones that would have paid out pretty nicely that did not cash was right behind you there. I see the big Circa sportsbook board behind you, and they had taken $1,000 bet on the Pacers at 125-1 to win it all. I'm not exactly sure when they took that. I think it might have been even before round one. So, because I know there was some other and a couple of others I'm going to recount where they were able to get the Pacers in like the 80 range in mid to late April or later in April, I should say. So that would have cashed $125,000. And then look, without Halliburton, the Pacers had the lead at halftime and kind of hung around in the third quarter until the Thunder made that big run. So that one obviously fell by the boards. But a couple of big plays that did really well did come here in Las Vegas, and they were series bets, not futures bets, but they were made after the series was set, and they were both made on the strip at BetMGM Nevada. The day before game one of this series, BetMGM Nevada took a $1.05 million wager on OKC at -700. And then the next day, the day of game one, shortly before tip-off. I was talking about this with Scott Shelton with BetMGM Nevada. They took a $200,000 play at minus 700. So the $200,000 play doesn't really sting that much, but the $1 million one does. That's a decent amount, to a decent payout on that $150,000. And then this came out, like, I didn't see this come across my radar until today. But it's been sitting there since before the series. But apparently BetMGM in Ohio took an $8 million bet on OKC minus 700 in the series. So BetMGM, suffice to say, Tim and Will, BetMGM was very much a Pacers fan throughout this series once they started seeing those big bets. Before, when the series was first set, when the matchup was first set, but before those series bets came in, OKC was a really good outcome for BetMGM, and it's what they were rooting for all season long. I've been going back and forth with their guys all season long, along with some of the other books, and they wanted OKC constantly. And then all of a sudden, these major wagers come in on OKC on the series price, and it's, you know, that's a lot to lay. But it flipped them for sure, and ultimately they definitely wanted the Pacers. And did not quite get there with BetMGM, but other books did pretty well to it. A couple of other plays that were kind of noteworthy. There was a FanDuel sportsbook bettor who was pretty enthusiastic on social media. He had a $1,000 bet at 85-1 on the Pacers and almost got there. I'm hoping, you know, we talked about this a little bit off air just before we came on, Tim and Will, and hoping some of these folks thought wisely of maybe finding a way to hedge or, you know, work it both ways a little bit to find a way to still make some money. And I'm hoping that better did for sure.
Patrick, as we turn the page to next season and NBA draft on Wednesday, which is a weird scenario. We go from a Sunday game 7 NBA finals, Monday off, Tuesday off, and Wednesday we're right back to it with the draft. Have you noticed a lot of books? Have you talked to a lot of bookmakers? They're offering this stuff. They're not offering this stuff. I know Paolo Banchero was one that really hurt the books a few years back. They felt like they got beat on the information. And since then, they've been very careful dipping their toe into the water about what they post, what they don't post. What's your thoughts here as we're a couple days away from the draft and of books offering or not offering these draft props?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting you bring that up, Will, because, you know, we all know the NFL draft is a very sharp market. And the odds makers just, they're like, we hate to post it. We're going to lose. It's just a matter of how much we're going to lose. I don't think the NBA is at that level at all, just because the NFL is just, it's this behemoth on the American sports betting landscape. But yeah, you got to be careful. And as you said, that Paolo Banchero one was one that definitely the books got sideways on. I did just get some fresh stuff today. Again, this is from BetMGM. They've been just cranking out data just as the season ends. Like you said, well, we literally just got off game 7 and now 3 days later, we're going to have the draft. But some interesting things on this. Obviously the big thing is that there's no doubt Cooper Flagg is going to be the number one overall pick. He's a massive favorite to be the number one all pick. I believe he's a minus 10,000 right now at BetMGM. And in fact, in looking at some of the numbers, they opened him, you know, at a very heavy favorite price. They haven't even moved off it. I see minus 10,000 opener and minus 10,000 current. And they've been up with this for about 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. They filled out all their markets on the 13th from like the first through sixth pick, Will. And I think what's kind of interesting when you're looking at number one pick overall, obviously Cooper Flagg is an ace in the hole. They see minus 10,000 odds. And he even at those odds, he's taken almost a quarter of bets at BetMGM on being the number one pick, and he's taken 94% of money, which, I mean, it kind of boggles my mind a little bit, Will, just because I guess it's a slam dunk, but it's such a heavy price. There's so little return there. And maybe it's just a matter of there's not a whole lot of money in the pot. The money that is there is people are like, hey, I'm going to put, you know, several hundred or, you know, whatever they'll let me put on these kind of props. You know, they're not going to take a whole lot of money on these draft props, whether it's NBA or NFL, et cetera. But just seeing it as a slam dunk. And I just thought it was interesting. 94% of money on Cooper Flagg to be the number one overall pick. Now, Dylan Harper, on the other hand, this does make sense to me. He's taking almost half of all tickets at BetMGM to be the number one overall pick. And that does make sense because you've got the public saying, oh, well, he was plus 10,000. Now he's plus 20,000. Yeah, I can bet a little to win a lot. And that's what they're doing. He's got almost 50% of tickets, Harper does, but only 4% of money in that market.
Patrick Everson, once again, hanging with us, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. You could follow him on social media at @PatrickE_Vegas, senior reporter for Vegas Insider. So, of course, last night we see the injury to Tyrese Halliburton, and he's going to be gone for all of next year. Jason Tatum, done for all of next year. Damian Lillard, done. We expect all of next year. What have we seen? And then we get the Kevin Durant trade as well. So there was a lot of movement in the futures market yesterday. So what have you heard from the futures market for next year in the NBA?
Yeah, and again, I was going back and forth, again, just coincidentally with the BetMGM trader I was just coincidentally talking to today, and that's Hal Eglin, who works nationally out of BetMGM's New Jersey office. And but this was universal, Tim. As you know, everybody had to make adjustments based on these injuries and the trades that you noted. First off, with the Halliburton trade, that was pretty significant and pretty immediate. The Pacers were plus 1,300 at BetMGM prior to Halliburton getting hurt early on there in Game 7 on Sunday night. That put them in the top like four or five teams at BetMGM. Now they're out to plus 4,000 and kind of middle of the pack, really, at BetMGM. So that made a significant difference in just a day, knowing that, like you said, his next season is gone. And they go from being like a top four, top five team on the NBA odds board for 2025-26 on the NBA finals board, I should say, to now being kind of middle of the pack. And there were some other beneficiaries from that. The Cavaliers went from 10-1. They were already among the top several teams, but they went from 10-1 to plus 750. I think they've slid back a little bit since then. In fact, I'm looking right now. Yeah, slipped back just a touch to 8-1 now. And the Knicks went from 9-1 to 8-1. And again, this is all at BetMGM. So, the Pacers slipped back quite a bit, and a couple of other teams in the East, and the Knicks, obviously they showed very well in the playoffs, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pacers. They get a little bump out of that as well. They shorten a little bit. You mentioned the trades, the Kevin Durant trade. This was something mentioned specifically in some data BetMGM sent across this morning. The Rockets were already pretty short at BetMGM. They didn't put up their odds until just the last few days for the 2025-26 NBA Finals. So they had the Rockets opening at 13, moved them into 8-1, and that's where they are right now. They're actually the co-second choice with the Cavaliers, and there's quite a gap, plus 240 for the Thunder, and then a notable gap to the co-second choices, the Cavs and Rockets, both 8-1. The Spurs fell back some based on the Durant trade from 18 to 22-1.
Patrick, we got to run. There he is, Patrick Everson @PatrickE_Vegas. The man is full of all types of information. Follow him on Twitter.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime as we continue on here on Monday. I love Patrick Everson. Always love the insight. And he's just the nicest guy. Just texts me and he goes, "I'm sorry if I went too long." I'm like, "Patrick, you had a lot of info, man. No worries. No worries at all." It's my job as the host to keep an eye on the clock there. So appreciate Patrick Everson coming on courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. One of the more entertaining games of the night, who would have thunk it? We've got Pirates and Brewers, bottom of the sixth inning. The Brewers had tied it up, and the Pirates played it a run in the top of the sixth. So right now, Will Hill, you can get the Brewers still at a plus 130 price right now as they trail 5-4 in the bottom of the sixth inning. You know, it's not as bad as the Rockies bullpen, but, you know, going up against the Pirates bullpen, maybe not the worst thing in the history of the world.
Yeah, and a big spot here, another game to keep an eye on, Mets Braves 3-2. Yeah. I think we're commercial break. I don't know if we went to a pitching change, but it looks like Soto is due up first and third, two out for the Mets, down a run in the eighth. And they're bringing in Lee, the lefty, to face Soto as homer tonight, a monster home run from Soto the opposite way. And he's started to shocking to no one, started to get on track here, hit a couple homers against Philly the other night. He's going to be fine. The last thing you have to worry about is Soto hitting. I know, look, long-term, that contract, maybe 5 years, 8 years from now, sure, it's not going to look great at some point. We know that with these big deals, but he's going to hit. He's too good not to, but he is up in a big spot here because the Mets have not played well, got swept by the Braves last week, lost 2 out of 3 to Philly this weekend, coming off a sweep of the Rays. So that's what, lost 8 out of 9. And you not only do you want to win these games to keep pace with Philly and you're in a race for the division, you don't want to give Atlanta life. Atlanta's a team that's drove you nuts. They're a rival. They've beaten you. They've given you a hard time years after years. You want to just, they're down. You want to keep them down. So big at bat here, big spot for Soto as he comes up 2 out, 2 on, down a run in the 8th.
Live line, if you think Juan Soto is going to come through, plus 257 against Dylan Lee, who's got a sub-2 ERA.
It's not bad. Yeah. That's not bad. Plus 257, it's really not bad.
Yeah. And we will see.
Because Soto's swinging the bat well here. I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, hits one up the gap. I know, like, the odds are against him getting a hit. Obviously, nobody hits, you know, 500. He's not... Like, based on the you know, his average, he's not likely to get a hit. But the way he's swinging the bat, plus 257, even if he gets a single and you tie it, you can put yourself in a position where you can arb out and just take something out of Atlanta and guarantee yourself some profit. So that's not the worst value. It's interesting. Snicker let him throw 116 pitches last week. He gets hurt. He breaks his rib, fractures his rib, covering, I think, diving for a ball. Schwellenbach, he takes out after 89 pitches. He was cruising. I get younger pitcher. You don't want to see these lineups. Let him see him a third time through. Just interesting, the inconsistency of, all right, Sale, let him throw 116. Schwellenbach out after 89. So we'll see how it plays out here. Soto up. It's like we got a 2-1 count here in a big spot. And the Yankees, a couple guys on base here trying to inch their way back into this game against the Reds. They got the tying run at the plate.
Yeah, now a 3-1 count for Juan Soto as, once again, men on the corners for the Mets. And Dylan Lee out of the bullpen, a lefty-lefty matchup right now happening at Citi Field. 5-4, Brewers trailing by a run against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it has been all Cardinals here tonight against the Cubs. They lead 8-2 in that one as we wait for Juan Soto and this appearance. As we sit here, the Boston Red Sox taking on the LA Angels tonight after a 3-game series at Oracle Park. They took they lost 2 out of 3 against the San Francisco Giants. And Walker Buehler gets the ball tonight. Looks like we're seeing, as we take a look at the market right now, open minus 20, got as low as minus 104. So some Angels money came in, and now some late Red Sox money coming in as Walker Buehler takes the hill tonight, as that will be a first pitch coming up in just about 4 minutes or so out there at Angel Stadium.
Yeah, it would be a lean towards the over first five here. Buehler just, man, he rallied at the right time last year for the Dodgers in the postseason, gave him some good outings, closed out the Yankees in the World Series. The swing and miss stuff is just not there. He's not missing a lot of bats. I think Kakanowicz going here for the Angels is hittable for Boston. Even though they missed Devers, they missed that bat in the lineup, they should be able to score some runs. I think we're looking at a 5 for an F5. I would look towards a first 5 over there if I had to play anything.
Keeping our eyes on this matchup as Soto continues to foul some pitches off. This is the now, I believe, going to be the 8th pitch of the at-bat here for Juan Soto. The Reds do get out of a jam in the top of the 8th. So we head to the bottom of the 8th in Cincinnati. Reds up 4-1 on the Yankees. I feel like, what are the Yankees hitting with runners in scoring position tonight? Because it is not pretty. 0-11 now with runners in scoring position. And Dylan Lee
and
does
get on base.
Dylan Lee gets the best of Juan Soto, a breaking ball. So Soto strikes out. Head to the 9th at Citi Field. 3-2. Braves hold on to that 1-run lead.
Threw him a good breaking ball, too. That's a full count slider. Out of the hand, it looks like a strike. It looks like a fastball, you know, middle of the plate, thigh high, and the ball just breaks out of the zone. So in a hitter's count there, full count, you don't want to load the bases. Lee just kept pumping strikes with a full count, and then eventually pulled the string on like an 89-mile-an-hour slider. The bottom drops out of it. That's just a nasty pitch. Soto, it looked like he was onto it. He has those at-bats where he'll foul him off. He'll do the little head nod thing. He did it in that great Guardians at bat in the ALCS, where he eventually hit the ball over the fence for a homer that helped the Yankees clinch the pennant. But doesn't come through this time. So we go to the ninth, and the Braves continue to do a good job against the Mets here. Swept them last week and got a chance here to go for four in a row against a Mets team that is really, really scuffling here the last 10 days or so.
The other West Coast game about to get underway in San Diego, the Padres and the Nationals. Obviously, as you alluded to, they do have some history from a trade standpoint. You think back to the trade that brought Trey Turner to the Washington Nationals along with Joe Ross once upon a time. And then the big one that has helped the Nationals, I guess, to try to rebuild that franchise, even though they're in the midst, had a 11-game losing streak not that long ago, but a trade that brought in James Wood, brought in C.J. Abrams, brought in Mackenzie Gore, brought in Robert Hassel, and one other piece in the minors. And I don't know if you know this, Juan Soto, no longer a San Diego Padre. So, I would say the Nationals actually won that trade, but the Padres are in much better shape as a franchise right now because really that is all the Nats have going for them. Mitchell Parker will get the start for the Nationals here this evening as taking a look at the betting market. The Nationals did go off, as we mentioned earlier in the show, as the biggest dog on the card tonight. And San Diego is actually getting bet up here at Circa out to, I believe, a minus 180 favorite right now are the San Diego Padres against the Nationals.
Nothing for me here, side or total. Padres are a justified favorite. Can't quite get to laying this number. Parker has not been great. If I had to play anything, I'd probably just play his under. It's low, but 3.5 strikeouts. I don't know how long he's around tonight. I saw his out prop is like 16.5. So 5 innings, 3K, something like that. I think the Padres, who do have Merrill back in the lineup, I believe. It's just tough for the Padres because you think of the Padres, a couple teams like this in the league, you think of the Padres, man, that's a good lineup. They got Tatis, they got Machado, they got Merrill. They got three or four guys that you've heard of that you really want. The problem is after that, it just kind of drops off. So we'll see here if the Padres can get to Parker, but under 3.5 Ks might be a look here. I'll make that a play. I'm going to bet Parker under 3.5 Ks, have a little skin in this one. I like that prop.
Merrill is batting second in center field. It's Fernando Tatis Jr. bobblehead night. Will Fernando Tatis homer on his bobblehead? I don't know if you know, you saw it. It's like a spinning bat bobblehead. As by the way, as Matt Youmans likes to say, there's nothing worse than hope. Ellie De La Cruz, maybe helping you out a little bit. Another run here for the Reds as Ellie De La Cruz. He's having a day. He's got a triple. He's got a homer now. 5-1 Reds lead the Yankees in the bottom of the eighth inning.
The problem is all these homers are solo, and every time the bases are loaded, you get a couple guys on. You get a double play or a strikeout. Judge homered, Cruz homered. I think there was another solo homer earlier in the game. So we've had the homers and we've gotten the base runners. We just haven't gotten them. The sequencing hasn't been good where, bases loaded, one out, don't score, double play. First and third, one out, no runs. The base runners were there, but look, it's part of doing business when you have an over. And I don't bet a lot of overs. And I feel like every time I do bet it over, something like this happens. So, look, I mean, the Yankees, they got the solo homer from Judge in the first. They've had nothing since. So, Hard to go over 10 when you go, 7-8 scoreless innings here like the Yankees have.
All right. I just I put a little pizza bet on Fernando Tatis to go yard on his bobblehead night, plus 375. So have a little fun. See if Fernando Tatis can do what Aaron Judge did earlier tonight, which was a homer in the first inning. Hey, Will, we've got Wimbledon not too far away, and there's a new sports betting market in town. It's called XCUTA. I'll spell it for you. XCUTTA. XCUTA is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own XCUTA auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon. Heck, even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. There will be free private practice auctions daily, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at XCUTA.com. And for a 3-month free bidding subscription, email support@xcuta.com and mention VSIN. XCUTA, the future of future wagering.
This is VSIN Primetime on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Keep it rolling. rolling here on a Monday night. That's Will Hill. I'm Tim Murray. We're going to talk a little college football in about 30 minutes. Former Oregon Duck, George Reister, going to jump on the program. Man, loves football. Has been traveling around, interviewing different coaches. Some good insight out there. Some good takes as well. So looking forward to talking a little college football with George Reister coming up here in 30 minutes. But let's get you updated on what's going on across Major League Baseball. Just underway at Petco Park. Nationals and Padres. Former National farmhand James Wood was at the plate and just struck out looking. So top of the first inning on Fernando Tatis bobblehead night. And it is scoreless right now between the Nats and the Padres. Top of the seventh inning, Pirates still up 5-4 on the Milwaukee Brewers, but that game is now headed to the bottom of the seventh inning. So nine more outs to go for the Milwaukee Brewers, and we'll see if they can come back to win that one, plus 133 on the money line. Eli De La Cruz, Will, is a double away from the cycle, but I don't think that's going to happen as it is the bottom of the eighth inning. He went yard in this eighth, but the Reds leading 5-1, and he'll need the Reds to squander this lead in order to have a chance to have a double for the cycle.
Yeah, and I mentioned we talked about the Red Sox-Angels game. I was like, if I was going to bet anything, it'd be the first five over the five. Could see both pitchers giving up some runs. Right off the bat, bases loaded, one out, a base hit, two-run score for the Red Sox, so that's off to a good start. But they did make an out on the bases here going from first to second, and that really hurts your chances for a big inning. So now I believe it's man on third with two out instead of like first and third with one out and a chance to really blow this open. So looks like we got another base hit. So, man, the Red Sox are teeing off on Kokanowicz early. I don't have the score in front of me. That's got to be 3-0, though, right? Two scored on the first one,
yep.
And that's a third run here.
3-0 right now. Red Sox out to a minus 394 favorite. And yeah, you had the right angle on that one as looking great. At having big runs here early on. So three runs already plated there for the Boston Red Sox. We're headed to the bottom of the ninth inning. Do the Mets have it in them to come back against the Atlanta Braves here as once again, a big moment in the bottom of the eighth. Dylan Lee came out to face Juan Soto and got him swinging. So to the bottom of the ninth we go. And if you think the Mets will come back here, Will, live line plus 474 for the Mets to come back and win this one. As we head to the bottom of the ninth, Braves up 3-2 over the New York Metropolitans.
I think it's Alonso leading off for the Mets plus 474. That's not horrible. Not, like I said, I've made worse bets than that. Not the worst number.
I always like that. Say I've made worse bets. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some, we could do a segment on that. Worst bets that you've made. That's
a whole show, 4-hour show. Yeah.
Once again, Reds up on the Yankees 5-1. That was our VSiN primetime game of the night. It's been quite the night for Eli De La Cruz. It looks like Lee will stay out there for the ninth for the Braves as we head to the bottom of the ninth inning. It's been all Mariners in Minneapolis tonight as Julio Rodriguez teed off. I believe he had a two-run shot early in this game. Brian Wu on the hill today and six innings, two runs allowed on six hits, struck out nine, did Brian Wu. And I just tagged something here. I was curious to see what it was as I believe the Mariners PR just put something out regarding Brian Wu. Brian Wu has gone six plus innings in all 15 of his starts this season. That's the most in Major League Baseball. Three more than any other pitcher. He also matched his career high tonight with nine strikeouts. So yes, very nice performance from Brian Wu tonight for the Seattle Mariners as they are up big on the Minnesota Twins. Oh, I thought Fernando Tatis got it. Fly ball to right field, but just an out. So first pitch swinging, Tatis was feeling it, but he flew out to right field. All right, is there any chance this happens here? It's now 6-1, Reds. You've got over 10. So, you know, it's never under until it's over.
That's the one good thing about betting the over. You're technically in it basically until the final out, especially with the ghost run or the extra inning rules, where as long as you can, it doesn't matter. You got over 10 and it's 1-1, 2-2. There's a chance that somebody just explodes. Trust me, I've been on the other side of that where you feel good about an under, you get the extra innings of a complete pitcher's duel and just all hell breaks loose in the extra innings, to the point where I don't even, if I like an under, I don't even bet the full game anymore. I can't remember the last time I bet a full game under. If it's under, it's first five. If I get burned with it where it's over in the first five but under for the game, which is going to happen inevitably, I just, you know what, I live with it. I can't lose any more games, any more unders because of the ghost runner. But we'll see here. We got a chance. It's going to be a frustrating one because they left so many guys on base. All the homers were solo. But part of doing business here when you take these overs.
How about that stat from Friday night? Christian Yelich had 8 RBI without a home run.
I know.
That's wild.
Great. That's the great thing about baseball. You just see something. The saying is you see something in baseball every day that you've never seen before. I don't know if I buy that. Or like if you go to a game, you always see something you've never seen before. I think that's an extreme example. But you do see it pretty – no matter like – how long you've been watching baseball, you watch enough, you will see something that you thought, man, it's impossible. I've seen it all watching all these games, but you'll see something that you've never seen. It was last week. I think I was doing the show with humans. It might've been the weekend show. Ground ball up the first baseline. The ball hit the bag. The pitcher was covering it. It went right into his glove and he got an easy out. I was like, man, I've seen millions of baseball plays, probably millions. I've never seen that exact play. So it's that there is a romance about baseball. You can just see these strange statistical quirks. You had the one about Mizorowski.
Oh my gosh.
With the two starts and the hits he's not giving up. It's been it looks like the Angels here answered with a homer. So yeah, baseball provides these type of things.
Yeah, Mets fans are headed for the exits at Citi Field. 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th inning, and the Braves lead 3-2 right now. And you mentioned sometimes you go to the ballpark, you don't know what to expect. Oriole fans, and I know I've got a bunch of them in my life, are none too pleased with the Trevor Rogers deal, because one of the pieces they sent to the Marlins has been like a revelation this year down there in Miami. But Trevor Rogers maybe redeeming himself. How about 8 scoreless innings tonight, Will, for Trevor Rogers and the Orioles as they beat the Rangers 6-0 today?
Rogers has the ability. It's not been pretty the past few years. His career's gotten off track, derailed. I understand the frustration. The Orioles last deadline thought they gave up too much for too little. I get that, but he's a guy who very early in his career made an all-star team, a big lefty, threw hard, had impressive stuff. It's just he just hasn't followed through with that success for whatever reason. Injuries, drop of velocity, underperforming, combination of all three. But maybe there's some signs here, some clues that Rogers is back. And I was thinking about the Orioles. It was the day they blew the 8-0 lead. I think I tweeted it out, and they gave up 12 consecutive runs after. 12-1 to make the playoffs, and that 9 games under, 10 games under. The pitching's been bad, but with the way the American League is shaped up, they're not dead and buried. If they can ever get some of these pitchers back or get a guy like Rogers healthy, Morton's been effective lately. If they can ever run off 8 out of 10, 11 out of 13 and get themselves back in the mix, they have a lot of offensive talent. They have a lot of pitchers that are in the organization rehabbing. Maybe they make a trade. I there's too much talent for me to completely give up by them. And I would be intrigued by them at double digit odds. We talk about the Braves. When are they going to fire? What kind of price can you get on them? The Orioles, you're getting a bang for your buck if you're so inclined to take a shot.
Yeah. And when you look at, that division, it feels like it's pretty open. You're a Yankee fan. Yankees are the favorites at -295. They're about to lose tonight to the Reds. You got the Rays at +550, the Blue Jays at 8-1. Yeah, I don't think the Orioles will win that division, but could the Orioles come back and make the playoffs? Yeah, that's kind of an interesting angle to look at. But is the AL East as locked up as the odds indicate that it is?
They're favored. They're rightfully favored. Maybe a touch high, but they should be in good enough shape. They're better than these other teams. Tampa's been impressive. I think the Yankees will win the division. So, I mean, not enough to lay the price, but I do think the price is probably justified.
Mitchell Parker gets out of a little bit of a jam there in the bottom of the first inning. Men on the corners and a ground out ends the inning. Did you end up playing under, 3.5 strikeouts?
Yeah, I was just going to check right now as you mentioned that. Did he get any Ks?
He
doesn't
not.
Look like he did. Pitch count, only 13 pitches. So, man, he faced like 5 or 6 guys and only threw 13 pitches. So the Padres up there not wasting any time swinging.
It is final at Citi Field. The Braves get the win 3-2. The final score tonight at Citi Field. Juan Soto does homer, but it comes in a losing effort as the Braves get the victory. Spencer Schwellenbach went 7 innings, gave up 2 runs, gave up that homer, four hits, struck out four. Pete Blackburn struggled early, and then not a horrendous performance as he went 4 2/3, allowed 3 runs on 6 hits, but the Braves get the victory. Hey, folks, we've got a podcast to tell you about. The VSiN Daily Morning Best Bets podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market move. In just 15 minutes, you'll get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of line moves. Once again, it's the Daily Morning Bets podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts.